You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clement Magnatella
on 702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang, salut, mes amis. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Clement Magnatella Show. It's so good to be in your company this morning. We start the show with the 702 open line. You can call me now on 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
011-883-0702. What do you want us to talk about this morning? You can send us a WhatsApp on 072-702-1702. I'm looking at the screens here and I see it's day two of the SACP's 15th National Congress. And Bladen Zimande, by the way, is stepping down as leader of the SACP after 24 years. Can you believe it? 24 years. So this conference is taking place this week and there's new leadership that's going to be elected. And maybe we can talk about his legacy. Huh? Yeah, let's talk about his legacy. What legacy do you think he leaves behind after 24 years at the helm as leader of the SACP? What has he done to contribute to the SACP as a communist party, true to the values of communism? I mean, he took over as leader, I think it was in 1998, if I'm not mistaken. And it was Charles Nqakula that he took over from. And look, to be fair, when he took over from the SACP, I think there were around 10,000 members or so. And now the SACP is sitting with about 300,000 members, according to the Communist Party. Personally, I don't know if he has lived up to the expectations of just ensuring government policies are aligned to that socialist ideology. Isn't that the whole idea why they had to be included in parliament? I mean, not just parliament, but even in cabinet as communists. I mean, why else are they there if they're not going to be influencing policy? And I know some people think his appointment to the various portfolios brought about some changes. They think he's heralded a new dawn on the higher education sector, widening access to post-school education for the poor. But I would argue that that's actually former President Jacob Zuma's work more than what he was able to do, really, as Bladen Zimande. So if you've got some reflections on Bladen Zimande's legacy, give me a call on 011-883-0702. Just remember, this is the man who helped bring Zuma into power, even when they knew about the controversies that he was involved in. Do you remember this moment in 2011?
Mandla! Mandla! Panzi na bathakathi panzi! Panzi no tokoloshe panzi! Pambili no msholozi pambili!
I mean, abathakathi means witches, huh? Is that witches? Yeah? Ubuthakathi is witchcraft. And he said that after he was accusing the media of unfairly targeting the then President Jacob Zuma. Right? So that was Bladen Zimande calling the media witches because they were attacking the then President Jacob Zuma. So that was then. That was 2011. And then there was a time when he wanted legislation to outlaw insults on the president. That's how loyal he was to Jacob Zuma.
The reasons behind this, whether in the end you have a law or not, is what we should talk about. You know, that there has actually been a deepening culture of insulting the person in the office of the president by cartoonists, you know, by people who are painters and so on.
I mean, really? And he denied at the time that that would infringe on the right of freedom of speech. Anyway, as things would have it in politics, things changed because Zuma fired him from cabinet. And that's when he felt betrayed, especially given the loyalty and the commitment he had shown for Jacob Zuma.
We want to say this as the South African Communist Party, including speaking for myself personally. We feel a betrayal in terms of the understanding we had in Polokwane. That has been betrayed. Our trust has been broken.
Okay, I'm going to go to your calls now. Please, I need to play you this last clip because this is what I found even more interesting. When he was asked by the SABC this week what advice he has for the person taking over him, guess what he said?
It's always important to be modest as a leader, you know? And not allow people who come opportunistically to surround you and tell you how important you are. Without you, there will be no SACP, you know, and so on. I don't know how to put it in English. You know, your colleagues who speak Zulu can be able to interpret this, you know. Ungabe umholo uthanda ukuthiwa njengembawula.
Hey, Blayden Zamane is telling us about modesty. Isn't that rich coming from him? Remember in 2009, when he was bought that 1 million rand luxury car with your money as a taxpayer? It was so self-indulgent. It was so unnecessary. It was so extravagant. And he now wants to tell us about modesty.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Morning, Clement. It's Thulani Ngwenya here in Soweto. What I think of Blayden Zimande, I can only remember one thing. Student must fall.
Yeah, I remember that. Dude, the tensions were high at the time. I mean, he was the Minister of Higher Education. Students were up in arms and they wanted free education. And I'm going to say this again. I know there are people who are saying he must take the credit for having heralded this new dawn in making the higher education more accessible, especially to the poor. I mean, what did he really do? Because it was Jacob Zuma who took, remember when he took that decision just before the Nazareth conference, before he had to bow out as president, suddenly make the changes. What did Blade do? In fact, if I remember correctly, I think I remember interviewing him at the Nazareth conference, and he was speaking about how, just like everybody else, how shocked they were by the decision that the president took. So if we want to talk about how he's made education more accessible and more affordable, free education, especially for the poor, what exactly did he do? Maybe I'm forgetting something. Please remind me.
Good morning, Clement, and all 702 listeners. Talking about the legacy of who? Is it Blayden Zamande? The legacy of corruption. There's nothing good he's leaving. They were doing nothing, just eating the taxpayers' money and promoting the ANC and their own pockets. It's a survival of the fittest. Now they are big, they are tanks and all. If you check their pictures in the 90s and check them now, they are tanks.
Yeah, look, to be fair, I don't know if he's ever been found guilty of any corruption. So, unless you know something that I don't know. But I get the broader picture that you are painting here. My colleague, Tsidi Madia, from Eyewitness News, the associate editor at Eyewitness News, just sent me a picture. Yeah, it's interesting how tables turn. There's a picture of, I think it's when Zuma appeared in court. And you can see, Abel, who's that poet? The people's poet, man. What's his name? Mzwakhe Mbule, thank you. There's Mzwakhe Mbule there. There's Baleka Mbete. There's Gwede Mantashe. There's Dumo Dlamini, the former COSATU leader. Who's this? Oh, there's Beck. Who's this? Who's the former COSATU Secretary General? Zwelinzi Mavavi. And then there's Blade. And guess who's there as well? Julius Malema. These are the people that were literally committing their lives to Jacob Zuma. They're like, what controversy? What corruption? What rape allegations? We will die for you. And Sidi reminded me that just this month, the same Blade in Nzimande who insulted Thabo Mbeki on behalf of Zuma back in those days, sat in the audience celebrating 80 years of Mbeki's life. How interesting. Kustas, you're calling us from Midrand. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning, Clement. Clement, Blade Nzimande will be remembered as the guy who was stubborn to acknowledge that higher education fees are unaffordable. That man, I remember universities needed money because the students were coming in, and the students didn't have money, so they wanted to ask money from him. He refused to give them the 8% increase that they wanted in order to fund free college, inverted commas, some of the students who could not afford. Blade Nzimande led us to this famous fall. And people must never forget that guy. That guy was a disaster in this country. When he was the Minister of Transport, Clement, he could not even resolve the truck driver strike. It was under his watch when this thing started. You know, I remember when he commented on TV, he said the truck owners were stubborn. And I'm saying, for heaven's sake, you're a Minister of Transport. You should have resolved this issue. Blade Nzimande, it was bad for this country. And look, he cannot take credit for anything on higher education for that matter. No, he did not do what we wanted. It forced Jacob Zuma's hand because he was not bulging, because he's a stubborn man. And he didn't care about many, 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 even to this day for that matter. Government. I still say South Africa can afford free education, but they don't want to do it. And I remember very well, it was maxed at 600K, if you remember. Now they brought it back to 250. Clement, that middle class cannot afford higher education to this day. And this government is looking the other way. So Blade Nzimande, no, cannot take any credit. For me, he was just there to enrich himself, to be loyal to Zuma. And guess what? Zuma again turned back on it because he was realizing that he couldn't even read the mood of the country. So what has he done successfully during he was in government?
By the way, did you say he wasn't budging or he wasn't bulging? Okay, here's a question. That's me being silly. Okay, so do you think, Kustas, do you think we would be sitting with this new regime of the so-called free education now if Jacob Zuma didn't force the hand of government? Because if he didn't make that decision just before 2017 conference, because he knew he was just about to bow out, if he didn't make that decision even without consulting anyone else, we wouldn't have the opportunity that many students have today to be able to... Yes, at the time, I remember, and I was one of those that said, oh my goodness, this is so risky, this is so reckless, where are we going to get the money for it? But had he not forced the hand, how many other particularly black poor students from disadvantaged homes would not have the opportunity that is more widened now because of that decision to go and further their studies?
Well, Clement, here's a quote from Blade Nzimande about free education. He went on to say that those who want free education were being reckless. That was Blade Nzimande. So students went above Blade Nzimande and go knock at union buildings. You see, and then he wanted to say students just want demands and some of them are not even willing to listen and engage. You see, and then he goes on to say, I told my son I don't have the money, this was a parent. If he's going to wait, he should tell his plan for the world. But the point I'm trying to say is this. He paid the money, was against free education. He probably is today. He's probably happy that there isn't one. Right? Yeah. So it was not paying the money, it was Jacob Zuma. And I think people don't give him credit for that. For at least helping. But remember, as soon as Ramaphosa came, what did he do? He removed the 600,000 limit and brought back to 350. Guess what happened? He left huge number of people in South Africa, who cannot now afford education because the limit is still that 350. So in short, he cannot take any credit. It was him who refused education. Actually, he was supposed to give universities no money.
All right. Kustas in Midrand. I get you. Thank you for calling in. I want to confirm what Kustas is saying there, because I know there've been many programs to deal with concerns around the missing middle. Remember the missing middle, like those kids who are not poor enough, but they're also not financially well enough at home, and they're falling within that gap, and they can't be accommodated. And I remember how when I was at the University of Pretoria, there were so many students who had to resort to fraud. Yeah, they used to go and take IDs of their aunties and come and claim those are their parents. Go make affidavits to say that their parents have died, or they stay with a granny because their parents are unemployed. Because if they submit their parents' pay slips, they fall within that missing middle and they're not able to be financed. But I know the Department of Higher Education has been working on that. I'm going to just try and confirm what the threshold is of what allows you to be a beneficiary of NSFAS.
Morning, Clement. It's Thulani Ngwenya here in Soweto. What I think of Blade Nzimande, I can only remember one thing. Student must fall.
Sure, Clement. I was just checking here. Blade was the general secretary or the leader of the SSCP for 25 years. So my question is, what if SSCP stood by itself and got power in 1994? Was he going to be a dictator? Like 25 years. That's his legacy for me, you know.
And what does it tell you about leaders who are actually comfortable with being in that position of power for that long? 24 years. I mean, at some point, it was almost a ritual that Blade Nzimande is not going to be contested at congresses that the SACP went to. Huh? I mean, how married are you to that position? And I mean, I don't really care how much contribution and how much work you've done to build and strengthen the organization, but 24 years. Awa. That's why when Thabo Mbeki tried it, a lot of people were like, that's not going to work. That is not going to work.
Clement, good morning. This is Begu Mozi. My memory about Blade Nzimande is a communist who sort of enjoyed the benefits of capitalism. That's all I can think about him. Because I don't understand how a communist can defend a decision to use a expensive car such as a Mercedes-Benz as a minister.
Especially when it was unnecessary. And more so, especially when we didn't have money for it. And he was okay to be bought that expensive car. He was comfortable with it. I mean, these days he claims, well, I unknowingly, and I don't blame anyone, but I didn't know. When you get into the car, you're going to the airport. I mean, you are seeing how flashy the car is. You know that that car is not 200,000 rand. So, are they champagne socialists? Remember when we were talking about socialism on air, or I'm on this show, and we were talking about people who preach these ideals and ideas such as Marxism, communism, and yes, socialism, while treating themselves to just flashy, expensive goods. And no, I'm not suggesting you can't be a communist and still, you know, be a communist at heart and still be able to enjoy the things of life. I'm not suggesting that, but sometimes people enjoy that more and they forget about that the true values of socialism, of communism. Papi, you're calling us from Four Ways. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Hey, how are you?
I can not tell you.
I'm good, thanks. You know, my mom of Blade is very funny. I remember in 2019, during 27 April, so he was engaging in one of the media activities. So one of the public members then, when it came to a point where they have to ask questions, and the person said to Blade, "You are not a communist." And it was funny because, I mean, he has been a communist for 25 years now as the general secretary. But then he said, "You are not a communist." And also, I mean, she made a very good point that it is dishonest to think that Blade is a communist. For her, freedom has to mean the same to us and also white counterparts. And what was the most funniest thing, the way he took off his spectacles after he was told that he wasn't a communist. So it was, for me, it was the last talk. I really found it very, very, very funny.
Yeah.
So that was the moment of me, of Blade, whenever I think of him. That's the moment I think of.
Thank you, Papi. Yeah, I'm sure he was shocked. What did you just say? Kutso in Centurion, good morning.
Morning, hi, Clement. You know, with regards to Blade, one thing that comes to mind is that 500,000, which Madisha was talking about, which, you know, just disappeared in black bags and it was given to Blade. And this is the kind of communist that we're talking about. And when you go back again and you look at it, there was another clip where, now when he's talking about the leader being modest and all that, and yeah. There's another clip which was on ENCA, I think. Yeah. I'm not sure whether he was attending a funeral or he was going for a... he was late. And actually what he said was like,
Bakalanjani. Yeah, I remember that.
Then you ask yourself, which like, now this is the man who says, and yeah, this is the kind of you know, a communist that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And again, maybe we can give him credit that if he wasn't there, the Communist Party would have died a long time ago, maybe. But yeah.
Yeah, but what has it been able to do? So yes, he's kept it alive over the last decades, but what has it been able to do? And I remember asking the SACP, I think it's first deputy president, Solly Mabayila, and I asked, what as the alliance can you pinpoint and say, in government, this is the policy we've influenced? And I think he mentioned the NHI, the universal health coverage. And I thought, I mean, yes, it's not implemented yet. Yes, it's gone through many processes in parliament. It's gone through some phases, but we're not there yet. And maybe that is fair, that at least they influenced that policy in the ANC. But today they're complaining about the alliance itself. They often complain that when we are sitting in meetings as the alliance, the ANC doesn't take us seriously. And I've attended many conferences of the SACP, many conferences of COSATU, where they talk about the reconfiguration of the alliance. Yo, I can bet you, even at this conference that's taking place this week, they'll be talking about the reconfiguration of the alliance, and yet it's not taking place.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
23 minutes before 10 o'clock, let's continue with the 702 open line on 011-883-0702. Your voice notes on 072-702-1702.
Morning, Clement. You know, people who are saying Blade Nzimande kept the SACP alive, I find them funny. How do they measure it? Because he has never left that seat. So if somebody has left the seat and someone else comes in and it dies and it comes back and it revives it, then we say we kept it alive. Compared to what? Blade Nzimande does the talk shop. Look at this child who his stuff was urinated in the university. Has never said anything, and that child is struggling because the university is being racist. He's never even interfered in that. And he's corrupt to the core himself, Sindile Nkagiso.
But Sindile, do we have evidence that he is corrupt to the core? I mean, broadly speaking, if you want to talk about the movement he's part of, the alliance he's part of, and the kind of corruption we've seen, I get it. But personally, I'm not sure. Unless you want to point out to something I'm not aware of. Do you think you can be like a true communist and be part of this government where you've got this fleshy life? Because honestly, guys, our ministers live fleshy lifestyles. They're driven around expensive cars, blue lights. They're not affected by load shedding. And I saw a statement from the infrastructure public works department saying no. Load shedding schedules also affect that estate where ministers stay. But the reality is those ministers have generators. And guess who paid for those generators? Just take a guess. So do you think you can be true to your socialist ideals and still be part of that government and live that lifestyle? And you become the so-called champagne socialist like other people have called, even Julius Malema. Because the argument has been, well, there's an inspiration to be that, right? So people say, no, it's okay for Julius to wear Gucci. It's okay for Blade Nzimande to be driving in an expensive car because there are aspirations and they are allowed to actually live that life because their main goal is to uproot and bring in the poor and the working class up to enjoy that life. But I would argue that poor people don't really crave Gucci. They admire to be warm. They want to be dignified. Opulence is feather for their mind. Wearing Gucci, driving in expensive cars, that's feather from their mind. And do you think when you are living that fleshy lifestyle, does it somehow interfere with those true values? Because how passionate and genuine are you in fighting the struggle for the poor when you're not really living that? You are on a completely opposite side of the spectrum. I'm asking. I don't know if I've made up my mind on whether that's even possible to genuinely be a true communist. And I say genuine true communist and still live that kind of lifestyle. What do you think? Let's go to Pretoria now. Nazo, good morning.
Hey,
Tsara.
Who's it, my brother?
Kimunad, how's it?
Ah, man. First time caller, regular WhatsApp, regular listener.
Ah, thank you for calling, man.
Yes, today I carry on. No, hair gave it. I still remember Blame the Monday, 1993 towards the election of 94. Actually, got Temba, go Unity, go Stadium, trying to woo us to vote for them then.
In Pretoria?
Yes, Hammanskraal,
okay.
Tembo in the stadium. Because you know, at that time, that site never go put at one restaurant, never a patel taxi. We were not there. So, for 2 hours, if not 3 hours, Blame Zimanda are Corona people, ASEANs of voters, vote African National Conference. African National Conference. Then we thought maybe we're in the mistake. For 2 hours, people, we must come out and vote for the African National Conference. I think people who still remember, maybe they can attest to that. Yeah. You know, these guys. So now, with them calling themselves the communists and the Bajwena ANC, Ailingore, I was like, is this the communist or communism which we read about? But are they serious? But no. Something is not right. Anyway, as long as Honale ba to those who follow them, let them just do that. But no, this can't be.
Yeah, no, I've got you. Nazo in Pretoria, thank you for calling. Do you remember that moment? Nazo says it was in Hammanskraal in Temba when Blade, in around 93-94, when Blade was campaigning and said, let's vote for the African National Conference. Yeah, must have been a mistake, but do you repeat it? Was there no one like next to him who said, no, it's not conference, it's Congress? Yeah? Do you remember that moment? Maybe you were there with Nazo in Hammanskraal in Pretoria. Makati, you are calling from Mogale City. Good morning. Hello, Makati.
Hi, morning, Clement. Sorry. No, I just want to talk about the fact that I remember Blake Nzimande during the era of Thabo Mbeki. He was being overlooked as the quarters of the ANC, some quarters of the ANC. They were saying he was being overlooked, and also Isma Khashule, because at that time, Isma Khashule was the chairperson at Free State. But Thabo Mbeki was not appointing them, like Ace as the premier and Blade as the minister of education, because Blade is a qualified educationist. So, however, what it says about him and Isma Khashule is that Thabo Mbeki knew that we know now at that time. You understand? So, also, before he became the minister of higher education, he was talking about NSFAS. By that time, it was called TEFSA.
TEFSA.
They must scrap the debts of all the students because they were indebted and unable to find employment. Now, when he became the Iron Minister, the guy totally just changed his tone altogether. So it just shows the kind of politicians we have in the country. So that was just my comment.
Yeah, so promises. And once promises, they get to those positions, they show you the middle finger. They don't care anymore. I mean, when you are the leader of a hard left socialist movement and then you're enjoying these finer things in life while fighting for equality, do you frown upon that? I want to know. I want you to help me so I can also make up my mind about, because I haven't. I do frown upon it. I do find it weird sometimes when, you know, people are living luxuriously, like business class, even on a domestic flight, staying at expensive accommodation, especially when you know even the limitations around our fiscus. Like, imagine how powerful it would be for these communists who are in government, including Abo Jeff Radebe, Abo Senzeni Zokwana, Abo, all of them who are leaders, who are in that central committee of the SACP, who were cabinet ministers. Imagine how powerful it would be when they said, as socialist, our conscience doesn't allow that we continue with this system. No, give us a domestic flight. Save that money for something else. Don't book me at this 5-star. Book me at a decent, most basic hotel. That's decent enough. It's clean. Book me there. Let's rather save that money for something else. How powerful would that be? But no, they're sipping on some champopo, driving in the expensive cars, living in these wonderful, expensive houses. Salary, their salaries come. What is it being used for? Those are your socialists. Hi.
Clement, the legacy of Bleeding Zimande, it's all about corruptions. Even the numbers that are showing that the membership has risen from 10,000 to 230, I don't believe it. If the membership was rising, the ANC could have taken them into consideration. If you look at the ANC, they're not considering SACP as one part of the allies. So the legacy of Zimande, it's all about corruption. He wanted to prove a point, but he's good when talking about socialism, but when it comes to practicing it, he's a total failure. Tshidiso here in Free State, Lady Brand.
Practice what you preach, Tshidiso, you're right. I'm sure there's somebody out there who thinks Bladen Zimande is leaving a good legacy. Huh? Come on, please give me a call. I mean, it's okay for us. We don't have to have the same views, right? I'm sure there's somebody out there who feels, I have looked at his legacy as the leader of the SACP. I've looked at his legacy in the various portfolios that he occupied in cabinet, and this is the contribution I've seen. I would like to take your call. Huh? And maybe there's something we're missing that you're going to remind us of the good that's come out of Blade in Zimande being leader of the SACP for 24 years. And by the way, he may not be completely out. There are other people who want him to be appointed as the chairperson. Like, do our leaders not know when to, like, when enough is enough? Like, when to say, okay, let's stop? Like, do they not want, like, some fresh leadership and give other people a chance? I mean, Secretary General for 24 years, and you still want to be deployed as chairperson for another how many years? How? When there are other capable leaders in the SACP. Yo, Smanga in Redeport. Hi.
Yes, Clement. Thank you, my brother. How are you?
Sharp, how are you?
Highly favored. Look, my point is very simple and direct. The issue of free education, it is the direct results of pressure by the students, and the students only are the ones to get credit for free education, not Zuma, not Blake. The matter of free education had been under discussion within the conferences of the ANC and COSATU for years, and there was no one who was prepared to take a great step to have to address the matter, which is why even at the last minute, he continued Blade to be saying, look, we cannot afford it. Because it is just like the issue of land, redistribution of land. There's no one who's prepared to can deal with that aspect. So it was until when the students took the matter, right? Remember one time when he was behind this bus in Cape Town Parliament when the students were really buying for his blood. So it is only the students and nobody else, not even Zuma. Zuma's matter was simply a matter of convenience, which is why he did not even consult with anyone. There were several reports that were presented to government relating to the matter of how to approach free education. And none within the structures of our Congress was prepared to have to deal with the matter.
There was an inquiry. What was the name of that inquiry? There was an inquiry into higher education and the feasibility of free education.
Exactly. Now, when it comes to the issue of the legacy of Blade, look, I mean, the Blade has been very, very instrumental in the growth of the Communist Party. I mean, I speak from experience. At one time, we were very much involved in the recruitment. But honestly speaking, as it comes to the issue of the legacy, I can't really pinpoint anything, because policies of the ANC, in as much as they may come from the Tripartite Alliance plus one, meaning plus Sanko, but ultimately, everything is determined by the branches of the ANC, not the branches. That's why there's always an emphasis to say members of COSATU and members of the SNCP must partake in the branches of the ANC.
Of the ANC, yeah.
Yes.
But what's the point of the alliance then, Smanga? Because... Yes, if you have members, you could argue that if you have members of the SACP and COSATU at branch level, they're able to raise, you know, those views. But it's more stronger and impactful when it's an organization, a structure that is aligned to this governing party that raises the policy proposals during those alliance meetings. What's been the point if the ANC is also not going to take seriously the proposals that these structures are raising?
Now, it's not that the ANC does not take it serious, but remember, the ANC has always been the leader
of the alliance.
Yes. SACP has always been the vanguard of the working class.
That's funny.
Yes.
Vanguard. Vanguard of the working class. It's like saying, because the ANC is the leader of society, right? But honestly, guys, when I hear someone referencing the ANC as the leader of society, that makes me laugh just as much as SACP is the vanguard of the vanguard of the working class. Smanga, thank you, man, for your call. Great contribution. The vanguard of society. Yeah, of the working class. The leader of society.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Teenage in Cosmos City. Hi.
Hey, Talbot.
Gimnat, how are you?
I'm okay, man. You see, about Blade, né? The man has served SACP for 24 years as a leader of SACP, but we now discuss whether he has legacy about free education, of which he didn't. SACP is one of the most useless things ever. It's just a wagon to get into power, and that's it.
No, you think so, teenage?
Yeah, okay. Okay, tell me one SACP person who made wonders and changes in South Africa.
Well, Jeff Radebe was the longest serving cabinet minister last year?
No. I'm not saying and serving long is useless.
Hasn't he contributed as the justice minister? He had a few portfolios. Energy minister, but I would, if I were to pick teenage, I would say probably as justice minister. That's where he probably had some kind of impact.
Let me tell you one thing. Judge Aaron Motsoaledi in his portfolio as Minister of Health and now Minister of Home Affairs. And compared to any minister that served long, do you see the difference?
No, I do see the difference. Yeah.
This is what we want. We don't want people who will be there just to be like fish, appreciate fish for swimming. Yeah. No, they must do extraordinary things that make change.
True.
Thank you, Clement.
Thank you, teenage. I take your. That's very fair. Just trying to be the devil's advocate, but I really get your point. Malinge, you calling us from the Johannesburg CBD. Hi.
Hi, Clement, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. You are speaking to Malinge Plaiki.
Ah, hello, Malinge.
Yes. Clement, I just want to make some comments or seek some clarity to those who are calling, saying that SACP has been the vanguard of the working class.
Mm.
I start to question myself for 25 years. Today, we're sitting with the ruling party that is having a privatization policy. Once a privatization policy be in place, you will see number of unemployed people as we are seeing now currently. Two, we are sitting with number of companies that have operating on the scape labor. What is that SACP is doing if it was an vanguard of the working class? They are having some input or influence to the ruling party. Did they ever say to ANC, no, scrap this policy because it kills our member?
Those they've been raising it.
Talking about.
Yeah.
Today we've got people who do not have houses in the commune, the society. Did the SACP say to the ruling party, no, change the police?
No, I hear you, Malinge. But I have to say, the SACP, even COSATU, have been raising concerns about privatization. That's why I'm looking forward to that ANC conference. I'm hoping we're going to do the show from there. It's happening, is it not next week, but the week after. And in the policy documents of the ANC, there's a proposal that the private sector companies buy stakes in these SOEs. Because that document does acknowledge what we all know, that SOEs have been destroyed by state capture, by corruption. But there are politicians who are left-leaning and even their alliance partners who have been opposing the partial privatization of SOEs. The ANC's very own policies specifically call on these SOEs to play a key developmental role. And that's what the alliance partners would often raise and say, but we are going against our own policy when we're trying to bring in private hands. Because once you do that, then forget it. Private doesn't think more about the poor. They think more about profit. That's what the alliance, some of the leaders, have been saying.